Hello and welcome to another episode of Park the Bus. It's a football podcast that talks everything Scottish football from up and down the country. And I'm joined by the laughing man himself. Nope, not from Blackpool, from sunny Pennycook. It's the jam tart himself, Mr. Andy Dixon.
How's it going, lads?
Not bad. And we're actually joined by a special guest this evening, only one time again this year. And it's the first time this year and only time. It's the Killy Fandando, Mr. Kieran Hunter.
No special episodes for me, this is an actual episode.
Nice, special enough.
Definitely special enough, exactly. But yeah, we are recording from our new podcast studio in the heart of Broxburn. I mean, this place is exquisite, isn't it? Absolutely brilliant.
Yep.
Beers are flowing, well, for myself anyway. And everyone else is toiling about his gaff. But thanks very much, Ewan, for the podcast studio for the night. If you can hear me in Turkey, if Amy's even letting you listen to this back... Never mind, do a podcast.
No, he listened to the last one back, so he's fine. If Amy will just be loud, she'll be away doing her own thing and he'll be locked in the room.
Very true. But yes, without further ado, welcome along to another episode. And as everyone that's maybe listened to the latest episodes, there have been wee short ones. Andy's been on a wee bit of a rampage at the moment of doing lower league football, from south of Scotland to even junior football for that matter.
They're not out yet.
But they will be. They probably are. They will be when this comes out.
You'll have this out tonight, what are you talking about?
Who says that? But yeah, he's doing loads of them. So keep your eyes out on socials and everything else in between. So always check our back catalogue as well. And yeah, we'll get right into the action. And pretty much we'll start off with League Cup, Via Play Cup, as it's still known, just and no more. And we'll start off with some results that happened midweek. So midweek fixtures as of follow. So here we are, the first result of the evening that we're going to go through is Forth Athletic 3, Arbroath 1. A big massive shock that. League 2 team obviously beating Championship Arbroath. That was Tuesday night. Then you had an R shock almost on the cards with a certain Cowden Beef in the Lone League. It took a last minute goal. I'm not even going to attempt to even say his name in the 94th minute. Andy, you want to give it a bash?
Toyosi
what?
Good call.
Oceania,
not bad. And then you went to Queens of the South, Dunedin Freeze against East Fife. And this one went to penalties for a bonus point. And it looks like East Fife came out on top in that one.
They did indeed.
5-3.
And then you've got also Queen's Park 5, Elgin City 0, Rory Payton with 4 goals. That's not a bad return for your evening in football. Aberdeen Rovers 0 on our lonely team relegated last year. And Dunfermline Athletic ran 3-0 winners at Clifton Hill. Then you've got Inverness, Caledonian Thistle 2, Eredivisie 3. Both are now in the Championship after Airdrie's promotion to the Championship from League 1. And we'll just jump on to Wednesday's results, which is going to be an eventful one because we've got Kelly playing in this one. But we've got Peterhead 1, Spartans 2, not bad.
Good result for Spartans, by the
way. You know, back up the league, not bad at all. Edinburgh City 1, Ross County 3, Premiership side running out on top of League 1 opposition.
Yeah, pretty standard.
Dundee 3, Dunbarton 1, didn't really help with Mark Dunning getting sent off, but it was already 2-0 at 2-1, sorry, at the time. And you've got the big one was Killy 2, Raith Rovers 2, and this game went to the bonus point in penalties, and Raith Rovers came out on top to keep their hopes alive. And then you've also got another one of the round, St Johnston, another Premiership team getting beat by another Championship team. St Johnston won here in 82. Not a bad return for them in that game. And then you've got Stenney 1, Alba Athletic 3, and then you've got Falkirk 0, Dundee United 1.
The comeback.
Beacon City ran out winners against Clyde away, 2-1 for them, the Highland League side. And you had Cove Rangers 0, Livingston 5, not a bad return either for the West Lothian side. And Celtic Hearts 2, Stranraer 0. Pretty much TV Dalramola is going to be playing for Real Madrid at this time.
Anyway, he's going and injected that lad, he's on, it's unreal. We'll come and we'll get the tables up and then we'll talk about the game that we were at last week as well.
So league tables as follows. I mean, we'll go for Group A. Ayr United sitting top on 8 points. Stirling Albion second on 7. St Johnstone on 3. Alloa Athletic on 3. And Stenny on 3. Stenny's played 4 games and the rest have played 3. This will go down right to the wire to get top spot between Stirling and Ayr. And also St Johnstone and Alloa will be hoping to at least get one win on the board for the last game of the season. I mean, playing at home and you've not won a game and been beaten once in the Premier as a Premiership team is not a good look.
That's wild, that group, just with Stirling Albion. Just with Stirling Albion being like where they are, you wouldn't expect them to be second in the group.
No.
Ayr United, obviously, top. In the end of the day, they both could win and one of them could go as second losers. Yeah. So,
you say you wouldn't expect Stirling to be second, but you expect St Johnstone to probably be sitting where they are.
I still, at the same time, think, and probably it's just me, always gives the Premier League team just that bit of advantage, especially against part-time opposition. Stirling, I mean, St Johnstone should have enough to be at least second in that group. They should have enough, like, to beat Stirling Albion, to beat Alloa, to beat Stenhousemuir.
Even though off the back of the season they're still in the fad, though, they went and won the league, got promoted. They're off a winning run. St Johnstone have had a horrendous season.
Full-time football. It's a new season. It's full-time football. It's you're coming down to quality. And this is the whole thing, is that the Premier League team should still be able to beat, and they should be in the one or first or second in that group.
Yeah.
Always.
And no doubt about it.
And that's, to me, is why it's a, to be fair, well done to Stirling Albion, by the way. Well done to Darren Young.
Yeah, definitely.
Stirling Albion.
Even Ayr.
Well, that's it. Ayr United, obviously, the Ayr United's probably a bit harder challenge for like St Johnstone, just because where they are in the league anyway, in the Championship. Yeah. But.
So moving on to Group B, you've got Dundee United in first place on 6 points after 4 games played. Partick Thistle in 3 games, 6 points. Spartans on 3 games played. Sorry, I keep saying 3 games played. 6 points for them as well. Falkirk, 4th. They're 5 points and Peterhead at bottom with 1 point. So that is a group that's going to go right down to the wire as well to see who gets top spot and who.
Spartans Thistle, isn't it?
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, Spartans Thistle last game.
Winner wins the group.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. So Dundee's obviously played their games, United anyway, and Partick Spartans is the one to watch. And then obviously Falkirk's a wee gem in between there that might.
Well, they could.
Might snatch it as well, depending on how the results go.
They beat Peterhead, it's a draw.
Exactly.
It's all to play for.
We'll go down again. Group C, Hamilton Academical, the team that got relegated last season from the Championship down to League One. They're top of the group on 8 points, 3 games played. Livingston on 3 games played and 7 points. Cove Rangers on 3 games played, 6 points. Brecon City, 4 games, 3 points. And Clyde at the bottom with 3 games and 0 points on the board. That one looks like it's going to go round into the wire if we finish first as well. Livy obviously thumped Cove, but it doesn't matter because Livy still need to at least get a draw and hope results on
so
the other
side.
So
who are you playing?
We're playing Clyde.
You're playing Clyde, so you're needing Hamilton to slip up.
Yeah.
I think that result between Brecon and Clyde is probably just a reflection of things to come. Given the 2-1 result, Clyde going to go, is this doomsday finally? Are they going to slip away from the SPFL, or are we going to finally come back up?
Well,
obviously, just missed out on it. But
you've got some fucking obsession with like talking about teams like disappearing, eh?
Ah, he loves it. He loves the trapdoor. Doesn't turn up for the previews or anything.
No,
like
no,
that, but he
no.
Fucking wants to.
Or put in my predictions. Aye. Leave that to the very end. It's good for Hamilton to be top, though. That's cracking for me to find a way.
You couldn't make it up that the fucking two teams that play at the same stadium were in the same group.
Okay. But he's done well. He's built a not bad squad. He's brought some good players
Two
in.
Or three players that played ex-Premiership football. Yeah. So, yeah, so beginning experience in League One, that's for sure. Right, so we've got Group D. Ross County at the top, 3 games played, 9 points. A full whack for them. Green at Morton in 3 games, 6 points. Kelty Hearts, a wee bit of an underdog team in this this group, in my opinion. 3 points and 6 games played. Stranraer, 4 games there, obviously not going to go through. Played every game, 3 points, and Edinburgh City.
Really
I mean, we'll just touch on this because this is the game that we're at. Me, Andy and Kieran ended up going to Edinburgh City versus Kelty last week. Last Wednesday, last minute kind of decision. We all met up, and what a spectacle.
Probably one of the best games of football I've ever watched.
Yeah.
And considering that day, Andy decided to take his kids to Murrayfield to go and watch.
Just one kid, by the way.
Well, luckily it was only the one. To go and watch, what was it, Andy?
So it was Man United Lyon. It was the worst game of football I've ever seen in my life. Generally it was the worst game of football. Okay. And I watch Hearts. So, but it was the worst game of football. You go to that, even at that game, like Edinburgh City were 2-0 up for like 7 minutes or something.
Well, we sat down. I meant he's at, it's like bang on kickoff pretty much.
Because
we're getting pies. I had to get chips and curry. Chips and curry sauce. And then what happened was, it was literally boom.
Aye.
Goal.
Then I went to get juice and it was 2-0. And yep. Then you're like, and then they scored again. You're just like, this game doesn't feel like
that. It's going to happen.
It was 3-0 in 20 minutes. And we all said that it was, it felt like Celtic should have had more out of it rather than being 3-0 down in the first 20.
Yeah.
But then by half time, it was 3-3.
Well, this is it. Tiwi Darramoa, who's obviously was playing bottom tier East of Scotland last season, scored an absolute rakers of goals. I've been a bit doubtful, just with the step up. It's a massive step up, and you've seen it so many times. But he's done so well.
He's doing so well, Andy. That goal he scored me.
The Maradona-esque.
Maradona.
Four players, right? Yep. And then still to have the composure and the energy to slot past the goal is just class.
Absolutely. And this is the thing, is that I think I could be wrong for him at this level. Because he set the first goal.
Yeah, he's off the bar.
Yeah, he did. Aye.
And I'm sure he's maybe involved in the fourth as well. So he was involved for most of the goals. And
he was involved in the whole game.
And he was.
Every time he got the ball or made a run, you're thinking this kid's gonna get the ball and do something with it.
And then you had that one in a million shot for the halfway line for the number five.
Ross Connell.
Just before the halfway line, chipped the goalkeeper.
It was perfection, though. It's not like it hit off the bar, it just went
sliding
just
in.
Over the goal in the air and into the net.
And that's it. It's one of these games. The game died out at the end, but it was 5-3. You're just thinking,
fucking no. Ken, the biggest point for that game, though, is the fact that all the games I had to be at, the ground isn't great.
No, it's not.
No, it was good for the three of us, I think. I mean, I can't remember if these two had been before, but it was just, it's a leisure centre. It's not a football ground.
But that's the thing, like, so we
awful.
I'd never been to that one. I've never been it since it's been redeveloped. I've been to the old Meadowbank. So we're sitting there, and obviously, because me and Kieran sat down to start with, Harrison's on the other side, and he went, Kieran's like, I can't see it past that barrier. Because Kieran couldn't see it in his eye level. And before the game, Kieran was like, I'm going to bring my Edinburgh City scarf. I'm going to support Edinburgh City. And he sat in his seat. He looked at me and went, this ground's fucking terrible. Come on, Kieran. Right? And then he's like, right, and then every time Kelly scored, Kieran's away running down the fucking touchline.
I'm not going to lie, I got up as well for a lot of them, because honestly, if anyone watched it, Darramoa would get you off your seat and he'd ball as a goal.
I think if he keeps going the way he's going, he's not going to, he'll not beat Kelly long.
Michael Tisner's made a decent side out of what's been happening. If nobody knows, Kelly obviously lost her pretty much their board, and they all went to Raith Rovers. That's why the Raith Rovers are under a big development.
We'll touch on this next week when we do our preview for the SPFL, but
for
me, Kelty, before the season had started, they were one of the teams that I was thinking they could be toiling here, eh?
Could also say as well, John McGlynn was sitting about three rows behind us at the game, watching Kelty and watching TV Darramoa, and I wonder what was actually going through his head. In preparation as to what's to come in the League One this season.
Probably looking at his missus, who was sitting next to him going, I've promised her.
A night of Facenda.
A night in this. We're going up the city. But aye, it's one of these, and I think that Celtic should be fine. Edinburgh City, just whatever that's going on, I don't know.
I said that to you last season, Andy. I think City's biggest issue is that they're far too tied down with that leisure centre now.
Maybe.
And because, I mean, it's Edinburgh Council, FC. Really.
Well, the question what we said was, where are they going to go? Ainslie Park gets overused so much anyway. And then, at the meantime, you've got, what?
There's nowhere.
It's just grass pitches. Civil service isn't exactly exquisite. Pepper Mill isn't
viable.
This
is nowhere around where they are. This is the problem. They're from that area.
If they're Edinburgh City, they're Edinburgh City.
Yeah, there's nowhere else around for them. And this is the problem. Ainslie Park's got three teams a weekend. As it is, obviously there is nowhere else. It would involve having to basically move their whole fucking thingy right through the other side of the city, and that's nowhere they're from. So, Ken, it's fine. I think we'll see how they go.
Promising things for Kelly, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Right, we're going to move on to the next group.
Group E, Eredivisie's at the top of the table. This one, 3 points, and it's 9 points altogether. Three wins. Dundee second place, 3 games, 6 points. Dumbarton 4 games, that's the same, finished in the group already, 5 points. Inverness, 3 games, 3 points, and Bonnyrigg Rose at the bottom, 1 point. I went to Bonnyrigg Dundee. Bonnyrigg obviously being a League 2 team, kept it new Premiership newbies at bay, to say the least. But the bigger picture for Bonnyrigg, they didn't have that one player that would go and do some magic for you. And I think, 1,500 people at the game, it was bouncing. I spoke to a guy beside me, he used to play for Dunbar, he talked about how Whitehall, talked about Lithgow, and it was brilliant to talk to somebody else, different aspect of the game. He says, yeah, Bonnyrigg have just went down this different road, and he says, the way they're looking, he's toiling for the season. Yeah.
I would go as far as saying this is probably the toughest group out of all of them. I think there's not much in it between, especially the 40.
Dumbarton League 2, Dumbarton's Championship, Inverness's Championship.
Again, though, Dumbarton, okay, they started off last season, they were flying, slipped a wee bit, still managed to finish quite high in the league. Airdrie have had an exceptional season, Dundee as well. Inverness, we know that they are a bastard to play at times.
Even though Group B is the tightest group.
For Bonnyrigg, though, for Rose, it is a bit of a shitter for them to be chucked into that group. It's always going to be tough for them, like playing the teams that they've got in front of them. But how well will Bonnyrigg do this season? I don't know. I think with Spartans coming in, I think they've probably a club that's maybe just got a wee bit more behind them as a football club.
I don't think so. In terms of
facilities, in terms of an academy, things like that.
The thing is, I'd argue about the academy bit, because I know how well the Bonnyrigg's academy is and the facilities.
Oh, it's a good academy.
The facilities that they've got. I think that when it comes to that, I'd argue that Bonnyrigg's is probably a bigger team. It's got a bigger catchment area with a bigger fan base. The Sports Spartans and what Ainslie Park has probably better is it's got Ainslie Park. Right. So it's got that, the ground with the new, obviously the stand on that side, the new wee stand there, and they've got that really good clubhouse, obviously. But Bonnyrigg's got the Roses Club when it comes to their facilities, but it doesn't.
Here's an example. The social club isn't as used as it used to be.
Yeah, I know that it can't be.
He says everyone goes into the colder room next door.
But this is the thing as well, so you're talking. But what you're talking is that when it comes to the ground and the way that the ground's laid out, it's easy, Ainslie Park, there's easier to develop Ainslie Park than it is New Dundas Park. But yeah. I think that I'd argue Bonnyrigg's probably a bigger team. I think they're both going to be in the same situation, though. I think they've not got big backers as much as Bonnyrigg have probably, when it comes to the league. And we'll talk about this next week, I think we're diverting away a bit. But they've not got the big backers, but they're getting good money through.
Aye, this is what I'm meaning. But I said to you after that game, and I talked about having some player there to make the difference in your team.
Yep.
There's nothing saying that you trying to tell me they couldn't go out and get the catchment area they've got and get players that we used to talk about all the time.
Well, the thing is as well, though, is how hard is it now that you've got so many teams in that area?
You tell me Conor and Baratoni that we talked about before, you wouldn't make a difference in that team.
I think he'd be good. I watched them on Tuesday night.
I'm not using centre-backs as an issue, but I think it's more their forward outlook.
Yeah, but this is the problem as well, is that you've got so many teams in that area now, and with lone league teams paying very close to them, paying good money for players, I think it sometimes can be harder. We talk about this all the time when it comes to Berwick, Gala, and I think that sometimes Bonnyrigg Spartans are maybe going to be affected by this. If you've got somebody like Trenet who's going to pay big money for a player who can pay just as much as Bonnyrigg, if not more, then
where are you going to go?
Depends where you're going for. You want to play League 2 football, or are you wanting
progress up again?
Rose are certainly at the advantage where they've got their own community.
Yeah.
Bonnyrigg is a town, and I totally agree in that sense. Spartans, however, they've got the issue where they are sort of city centre based. Where are they going to pull in folk from? It's like Edinburgh City have had the same problems. Yeah.
Both Spartans and Edinburgh City are too close to Hibs.
There's not much in it between the two clubs, and I think. But in terms of what Spartans have got as a ground, I think they probably do have a slightly better ground. Rose, we spoke about New Dundas Park before. They've tried to add to it, and it's not quite working.
Let's move on, because we can talk about this next week when we do the SPFL preview. If I was Dundee, I'd be pretty disappointed where they're sitting at the moment.
Can I tell you what? No, I wouldn't be. Their team is going to... If that was a team they played against Bonnyrigg, what I've seen, it's very young, it's very inexperienced. But at the same time, you are a Premiership club.
Yep.
You won the league, albeit by points and the goal difference and whatever else it was in the day, wasn't it?
They won the league because Queen's Park everything else. But good on Airdrie, and obviously a guy, manager who frequents near Shea Armours.
Yeah, the podcast studio.
Supposedly lives above.
Well, if he does, he's a noisy bastard. Well, we'll go down to Group F very quickly now. Dunfermline Athletic surprises me and Kieran especially with this. They're sitting top in four games played, so they've played all their matches, and they sit 8 points at the top. Kilmarnock, three games, 7 points. Raith Rovers, 3 and 6 points. Albion Rovers, newly low in league team, 3 games played, 3 points. And Annan, newly reported to League One, 3 games played, 0 points. So what do you think about Annan? Do you think it's just going to be a flash in the pan? Do you think it's maybe what happened last year? They'd done really well in the League Cup last year and they were absolutely fucking shocking at the start of the season.
They won their group last year.
They were absolutely flying member. I mean, they were shocking in the league for a long time. So it's maybe a bit of a balance between that. Going into Albion Rovers, Sandy Clark building a brand new squad. I think they had 8 to 9 childless playing majority of friendlies recently. So you can see the rebuild there is massive. I mean, you go to Raith, Kilmarnock and Dunfermline. To be honest with you, Raith have got almost, and I'm not just saying this, a Premiership squad there.
Definitely.
There's no way that there's players in that squad that couldn't play Premiership football. And I think it's just to do what we talked about, Kelty board, jumping ship across to Kirkcaldy. And then you've got Kilmarnock on its own, rebuilding McInnes and whatever, to sit with a game, an hour game to play still, and 7 points, you can finish with 10. So it's not bad.
No, it's not that bad.
The film will be riding our luck if they manage to get through this because of Raith.
Last game we've got Albion away.
Yeah. So Annan's also got.
And Raith have got Annan.
So how are we feeling then, Kieran, about this whole thing then? How are we feeling that the League Cup's went, obviously?
For us?
Yeah.
Well, we've won 2, drawn 1 and lost 0. So, I mean, I see it as we've done fairly well. I think last night played Raith, and Raith played with quite a lot of intensity. I think I agree with Cammy. They look like a bottom half Premiership side. Mm-hmm. They really rattled us, especially sort of second half. Like, they came out and gave us a game. They deserve to get something from it. In comparison to Dunfermline, who played in the same league as Raith, Dunfermline, we more or less turned them over at East End Park.
Didn't prove as much.
Newly promoted, but in terms of the both the clubs, you know, there's not a lot to cut between Raith and Dunfermline. And again, people would argue that Dunfermline are the bigger club. But anyway, that's up for debate.
I think that.
But as I said, I think it's. I'm quite disappointed about Annan. I think there's a lot of focus going to go into the actual league campaign this season for them.
I think so.
What's their focus is going to be?
It's League Cup, isn't it? It's the league. It's got to be the league. It's about having a good go at League One.
And it's the same with Albion Rovers. I think Albion Rovers, they're straight away, their initiative is we need to get straight back up. Yeah. Annan. Like you said, Andy, there's an opportunity there where they can really give us a go and maybe turn
League
into like what Airdrie have done.
League One's going to be really tight this year.
It will be.
We'll talk about it next week, but it's going to be really, really tight.
Moving on from obviously that, Dunfermline obviously will just be hoping that everything goes to plan and they manage to at least get second.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously,
Kelly will win the group.
I think Kelly will win the group too. It's all about getting the points, try to get a good number of points for Kelly and Motherwell in the group below is to make sure you're seeded. You want to be seeded so that you're getting a good tie. You're not getting the big teams when they come in.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like Hibs and Celtic and Rangers.
And the same teams you play in our 4 times a season. But anyway, Group G, top of the table, Motherwell, Premiership side, 3 games played, 8 points. East Fife, second. 3 games played, 7 points. Queen of the South, 3 games, 5 points. Queen's Park, 3 games, 4 points. And Elgin City, 5th place, 4 games played, 0 points. They're out. Bye bye. See you later. One quick thing I'll say about this, when you talk about how difficult the table were, I've got a funny feeling that's up there with one of the hardest groups, to be honest.
Really?
Yep.
I would say hard from 2nd to 5th.
Motherwell are not special, mate. Their fans are in a half and half status between not enough investment and they are looking at youth now.
For Motherwell, I forgot to talk about them quickly, is they've done well. They're top of the group. They'll win that group.
Yeah, they will win it. But what I'm saying about the biggest picture, you talk about fans and that getting angry at performances, you look back at the start of last year. You know, they're in Europe almost last year to qualification.
lost to Sligo Rovers.
And then fucking absolutely donkeys, man. You know, yeah. It couldn't pass the ball. So it's another rebuild again, though.
Yeah, I think going into stuff that we're going to talk about next week, you've lost Van Veen, you've lost Max Johnson. Like, you came at me,
yeah,
and so
you've lost
they've lost these boys. So I think it's, but they've done well. They're doing where they need to be. Five, that's not a bad campaign for them, by the way.
Yeah, don't find there's really many surprises in that table. I think
the only Queen's, one you expect Queen's Park or Queen of the South to be sent second rather than East Fife.
I think you would. If you're picking, you probably would pick one of the two. Probably you'd pick Queen's Park based on last year, but it's a different Queen's Park team now.
Yeah, different manager, different team. I'll say technically playing it less or technically not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Less of that said the better.
Yes.
I think
Edinburgh
City's
we'll
going
to
be a bit better.
Next week.
This is your favourite saying, eh?
We'll talk about that next week.
So Kieran likes to talk about doomsday for every fucking team that gets relegated. I mean, you like talking about, we'll move on to next week.
We'll talk about next week.
Guess what, guys? You'll get to next week and we'll all fucking forget about it. And you'll not get to talk about
it. We'll ramble about something else.
Well, no, if we're doing an SPFL preview, there's no point in talking about fucking Lesser Hamden, Edinburgh City last week.
And on to that, Vier Cup. Last group, VFI fucking play, whatever, right? You may as well call it that, because I don't even care what's going to happen with it. Group H, for Athletic,
super.
3 points, 3 games played, sorry, 9 points. St Mirren, 3 games played, 6 points. Montrose, 3 games played, 5 points. Lowland League side Cowden Beef, 4 games played, 2 points. And fucking hell, here we go, Arbroath, 5th place, 3 games played, 2 points.
Players for Scotland.
I think I would start off with this.
And give him a game. Yeah.
Play now.
Aye.
I think I would start off with this, is I think out of all the groups, in terms of who the clubs are, this is probably the most exceptional from any of the clubs, and that's
Forfar. I think it's the most wide open as well. I don't think
that's the biggest shock in the group. You know, they have been toiling for the last few years, touch and go, even maybe relegation from League Two. To then being top of a group at the start of the season with St Mirren in it, that had the most successful season they've had ever in the Premiership. And Montrose is a team that's just solid all the time.
Solid League One side.
Arbroath should be up there, even though they struggled last year, they've still got a very good team.
They're going through this period, I think that they're getting their players in after the League Cup's done. I think that they'll get some.
I don't think it's just that. I think it's just to do with. This is their pre-season.
But yeah,
this is more of a pre-season for them now than it is for other teams.
Dick Campbell probably waits for players to for the big teams to sign players so that he can then see what he can get.
Well, selected teams maybe play 3 or 4 games before the League Cup. Some will only play one.
It'll be
and
good
then
to
play the League Cup games.
It'll be good to see how Cowden Beef react to the Lowland League when they go back.
Hopefully, get finished about 12th.
We'll talk about that next week.
Well, we've already done the Lowland League. And hopefully finish about 12th.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Viaplay Cup obviously continues at the weekend. And also we talked about some fixtures there, so I don't think we're going to talk about any more.
Nah.
I think that's enough.
We'll talk about Viaplay, though, if you want to go into that.
Yeah, so, I mean, just to touch on it, Viaplay Cup will be no more, and Viaplay to show the knockout stages of any competition in knockout football is no more, and they will also stop showing Scotland games in their European and World Cup qualifications.
Good.
So, biggest question is, we'll start off with the qualification stuff with Scotland. MSP came out and says it's about time you spend all this money, all the time about BBC, Match of the Day, England games, it's on Channel 4, ITV, BBC for many years.
Mm-hmm.
It's about time we got something in place
here. Tell us
you
didn't understand the rights to UEFA without fucking telling us.
Before I say anything, I'm only just going to say, because I can read Andy's face and I know exactly what he's going to say. Obviously, there's a situation with UEFA and the rights for the TV contracts.
Yep.
Secondly, BBC, product. What's going to make more money? English football or Scottish football?
That's what happens.
Kieran, it's not like it's £140 million.
I know, but
it's an extra couple of million pounds to top it up.
But I know, but it's like I know what Andy
UEFA
would say.
UEFA does though. UEFA doesn't value our rights, so UEFA bundles our rights in with everybody else.
Correct.
Yeah.
And this is the problem: is that they don't like. That's why Channel 4, is half
England.
State run.
Yep.
Well, it's half state run. But they've
changed a lot now because of what happened last year.
No, but that then changed back.
Well,
But basically, maybe, because it's half state run, is that they've decided they want to lump all this because they can sell this to the advertisers. And it's one of these things is that, yes, we'd love it. Yeah. But the problem is there's no money in Scottish football. Nobody wants to go out and spend that extra money, yeah, unfortunately. And it's all great for MSPs to come out and say...
No, hold on, right? Seeing you're talking about that, that's bullshit.
Is it, aye? Well,
yeah, why it's bullshit? Because you're talking about it's taxpayers' money.
Right.
So you pay your TV licence. No, not talking about ITV. ITV, forget that now.
Right, we're talking about the whole thing.
Let's talk about BBC first, right?
Right.
So I talked about match of the day,
yep,
right? I talked about Premier League, mm-hmm, highlights. I talked about, they used to have EFL highlights, used to have, yep, the whole shebang.
Mm-hmm.
They show women's football,
yep,
they show everyone else in between. Yep. FA Cup, down south.
Yep.
We pay for that.
I know we do. I can't understand that. I've got to tell you.
That's my point. I'll have to say no more then.
I know how it works.
Yeah. I don't have to say no more then.
Well, you do, because...
They've got £100 million for that, but I pay towards that.
Yep.
But Scottish football can't afford an extra couple of million quid to top it up to get the rights for other stuff.
That, but this is the whole point, is that what happens, so it's...
Pish!
So basically what happens, yeah, we pay their TV licences, but it's all then sent
Pish.
Out. It's all sent out to fucking...
Pish!
But can't
let me fucking speak, are you just going to go shout pish at me, right?
No.
Because basically, unfortunately, no. I want BBC to have it. I want ITV. I want it to be on the fucking telly, so I'm not having.
But that's your whole point, what you're saying, though, because the bigger
picture
is. This
is why, they're not
fucked.
Doing it. It's fucked. But the problem is because they send the money to BBC Scotland, and BBC Scotland are not going to spend that money on fucking because the patents that they get.
Because Jackie Bird's on the biggest pension.
Probably is high. But this is the problem is that nobody's going to spend it. If the fact that ITV hasn't even got to spend it to try and gamble on getting the fucking Scotland fixtures. To sell advertising, it's got to tell you exactly.
Well, no, because it all goes into Saturday Night Takeaway, Bant
and Debt. Exactly. And Ryland and all this shit, right? But
yeah,
it's one of the.
We'll not go into other stuff, but anyway.
But this. Not Philip Schofield. Anyway.
Yeah. Delete that.
Or Hugh Edwards. Anyway, so. This is the point, though. This is, unfortunately, that they're not going to do it. And it's as easy as it could be. No one's going to spend the money. The fact that Sky's not spending the money, how much did we all pay for Sky? Okay, what I mean, apart from Kieran, but because his dad pays it.
Not anymore. That was about 15 years ago, mate. We didn't have Sky in our house.
Dodgy boxes. Anyway, so, but this is the whole point, is that how much do we pay for Sky, and how look at what we get for fucking Sky Sports.
I was going to say that, it doesn't matter.
What? What you got to say that?
Part of the bosses does not condone Cody Sticks and everyone else in between. Thank you very much.
Speak for yourself.
If you came to get them, email, text Kieran. Right. Anyway, but this is the whole point, is that...
Tell them about the one in the podcast. <you know now>.
But aye, this is the point, is that they're just... Nobody wants to take it on Scottish football, and UEFA didn't give a fuck, so they just gamble it all with fucking... They gamble it. And then we're going to come to the point of talking about the League Cup, is that they're just going to fucking scrimp and save and everything else, and fuck knows what they've got to do to defend a broadcaster. Because is it...
Well, when it came out about saying Premier Sports are sponsoring the Premier Sports Cup, and you're like, so you've got the rights and then you're sponsoring a cup.
Right.
The biggest, most fucking pile of shit I've ever heard in my puff.
But Premier Sports were a shambles,
you know,
anyway.
And then they sold it because they can't, it's going towards Satana.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Andy's right. The problem is that it's always going to come down to product. It's going to come down to who gets the most views. I've seen plenty of things about the SPFL having a media, having our own media set up and all that
SPFL
sort of thing.
TV.
But the truth is that the SPFL, the same guys who govern our game, can't even advertise our game properly.
Nope.
So how far are we going to go to an extent where the SPFL does have its own channel? But then again, who's going to buy into that? Unfortunately. It's all going to come from the big broadcasters and how much they're willing to put in, but then how many games are actually going to get shown that's not Rangers and Celtic?
Well, SPL TV almost fucking ruined the whole of Scottish football.
Well, we know that. That's a fucking whole different fucking story.
I
remember it well.
But
remember
that's what I'm trying to explain. Like, I'm trying to say, like, if you go to go down that road, we do it ourselves and we do this, then you're going to try and ask people to fork out an extra fucking tenner a month. On top of your Sky Sports, on top of everything else, because Sky Sports won't have it anymore.
Well, this is the
realistically, there's more folk going to games in Scotland than what they probably would be watching.
Okay, fuck it. We'll just go back to 1970s, you go to a match, you watch the highlights when you come home, and that's it.
Yeah,
but... I can't enjoy that.
But
you know, let's build 150,000 seater stadium for Hampden, and everyone can go and watch the game for £2. There you go.
It's just, the thing is, we're talking about League Cup. Fair play, we've got Scottish Cup too.
Well, just going to go into that, because this is what somebody actually said. See if BBC can't knock up some money to get the Scotland games, right? But can't knock up to get the Premier Sports or whatever, right? And the Viaplay Cup now. At least just go and get the Scottish then.
Aye. It's quite good. You know,
they paid £1.5 million already for it, for the Scottish. So they only have to cough up another £3 million altogether to get the rights.
Anybody hears rustling, that's Kieran getting wired into his Dairy Milk. Everybody.
AKA, sorry, the big cake of chocolate. I've offered. I've offered, but technically I'm saying Ken's didn't want any.
What's going to happen is that they're going to give, that Sky will get most of that for a pittance. That'll be called the fucking, back to the League Cup for the season, and it'll be
called the Sky Sports Cup.
Or the Scottish Gas League Cup, and then it'll just be fucking back to Sky Sports for what is Sky Sports for an absolute pittance.
Scottish Gas or SFA, so that's the Scottish Cup. Then the Viaplay Cup will need to be called something else then.
Just be
and the best ones we've ever had for the League Cup was CIS.
Coca Cola. Not only because you've won the CIS.
Woohoo! I don't enjoy the CIS.
CIS, mate.
It was communities or whatever it was called.
Cooperative Insurance.
I've never seen Hearts win it, unfortunately. CIS have beaten a couple of finals. Coca Cola Cup.
The best one for the Scottish Cup before we move on. Best Scottish Cup sponsor.
Best Scottish Cup,
Tennants. Got to be
Tennants, yeah. Tennants, yeah.
You know, Willie Hull done it for a long time, but...
Tennants.
Well,
funny games.
That kind of sums up what we're thinking about. Yeah.
Cammy Hinks said we're going to get £100 million for a TV contract.
I didn't say £100 million.
Is
that Gary Lineker? I said, aye, his wages will do the fucking deal.
Is that Gary Lineker?
I tell you. No,
don't like the fact that I have to agree with Andy.
I know, but no,
it's just easier.
It is now, aye, but you never tell him that, though. But it's what I was trying to mean is, they have to fork out these rights because STV will come along and try and take match of the day, right?
Okay, and I remember that too.
So, what I'm saying is, when it comes to this, it's not exactly like they're having a bidding war for it.
Exactly.
It's a case of, oh, there's £1 million, there you go.
But they don't want to do that
either,
though.
They don't, because it's fucking corrupt.
Oh, exactly.
Ah, welcome to Scottish football, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
I think that'll just sum up what we're all thinking. If anyone else has got any other interesting facts and knowledge about this kind of stuff, give us a wee DM or a wee post on Twitter and quote a tweet.
And we're only joking about the Cody boxes and fire sticks, by the way, honest.
All right. BT Sport looks fab on this, by the way.
TNT.
Oh, yeah, TNT now, sorry, aye. So today kicked off the first European adventure for one club in its Premiership. Hibernian travelled to Andorra to take on a certain Inter. Basically, Andy's about to piss himself laughing here. The toilet's down there.
Thanks, pal.
So they did not run out 2-1 winners. They got beat 2-1 due to flappy hands and goals. No, not Joe Pereira, not Papa Dumhands.
Not Zivi Malkowski.
No, it was the hero for the international team, Davy Marshall. Flappy hands.
If only fucking Ewan had an Alexa or something to fucking get on in the background there. But
Alexa, play what?
Wakefield.
Hibs are falling apart. Again.
Like, here's the thing, right? These are all be like looking at me going, he's going to. But at the end of the day, they've went out there, they've got beat. It's very comparable to the Celtic and the Lincoln Red Imps. Going away for home and getting beat for a team that you should be expected to win, that's maybe played a wee bit more football than you've played. Obviously, Hibs have been playing friendlies and things like that. But I still expect them when they went 1-0 down. The day he still won the game. I still expect him to go Easter Road next week and win, maybe 2 or 3 now at home.
I mean, it's another record to add to Lee Johnston, is that it's now the second worst result in Scottish football European history for a club, because Celtic hold the number one.
Yeah.
So in terms of the lowest ranking team to beat a Scottish club. But again, Hibs are 350th and this team are 394th. So it's not even that much in it. But it's like, it's still poor. And I think Andy's right. I think, well, this Andorran team, they won the league last season as well.
Yeah, but
it's like,
it's in the Andorran
with
league,
all due respect.
I think, before you go on your rant, Andy, because you're a Hearts fan,
the way I look at it, and I seen it when I was watching it, Hibs are all over them like a rash, mm-hmm. right? But the biggest question I always say to myself, what was it like to get there? What yeah. was it like staying there?
Yeah.
What was the preparations? Was the fucking hotel and the food all right? Was did it feel like a good trip to go to?
Well, did you see the stadium they were playing at? I say stadium. It was Edinburgh City was better. Meadowbank's in a better state.
Yeah, I mean, this is all the thing is that I still expect them to win. I expect when they get them home.
They'll do what they did a few years ago when I went with Lee, and they'll do the same thing. Shit an away game and come back to the home leg pump the team.
Yeah, that would be 3 or 4 now at home, eh?
And I remember a game, it was like 2-0 they were getting beat off that Greek side, and ended up getting back 3-2 in the last minute. Cam Berry still played for them at the time.
I mean, what does it say about Marshall? Because obviously Marshall's been getting a bit of criticism the whole year.
He like, put big fucking Harper's cousin and goal. Yeah.
Well, it's going to have to be Hanky, because at the end of the day, he's been getting criticism quite a lot. Like, he's obviously
probably been really inconsistent since the Scotland game, since the save. Yeah. He's been very inconsistent, but it's...
Done the same when he was at Queen's Park. He was at Queen's Park for a bit, obviously, in
Queen's
Championship.
Park Rangers.
Queen's Park. I was like, fucking hell, Cammy.
We'll get on the Queen's Park next
year. He'll be in there next year.
Queen's Park's next year.
But no, I generally feel like when he's at Queen's Park Rangers, QPR, he done the same kind of thing. He could be outstanding for the whole game and do one wee thing, and it just ruined the whole game.
His whole career's been like that, though, hasn't it? Like he's been...
That's why he didn't last as long at Celtic at the time, and that's why he didn't last as long at other clubs.
Yeah, I think so. And you could argue since basically that time it happened that. For Scotland, and obviously he went to the Euros, he had an issue, got lobbed at the Euros, and it's just never been the same. He's come and he was meant to be that steady influence at Hibs, but I've seen a lot of Hibs fans criticising him for his positioning and stuff like that throughout last season, and obviously he palms the ball out to the boy who taps it in for the second, so aye, it's it probably will be that he was stripped of the captaincy as well yesterday.
Paul Hanlon, aye, he got given it.
So it's strange because Hanlon was a captain before him.
Mm-hmm. But no, it's not really much else to say apart from I think it is just a total reflect. Again, it goes back to the Celtic result against Lincoln Redimps. But how many times have we seen this before, though, over the years? Like, let's talk about how poor Scottish teams actually are in Europe. Why? How are we so poor?
The thing is, teams aren't really poor.
Aye, but can't you look at our result against Connors Quay for a start?
But come on, fuck you, and you shouldn't have even got in that place in the first place. But anyway,
well, with the manager that we had, I'll have you find.
And
then,
to be fair, he was meant to be not that bad a manager.
He wasn't.
Well, he was at Juventus. He was at Chelsea.
And after they get relegated, and they sacked him.
Aye, sacked him in fifth place because Kirk Broadfoot didn't
well,
like
well, I was going to say, because Kirk Broadfoot, aye. And we know about Kirk Broadfoot and
his
fucking
moaning
face.
He's
Brim Hull days as well now, eh?
So,
but I just think, like, over the years, you've seen it time and time again. I mean, if you take Rangers and Celtic out of the equation, like, why are we so poor? Dundee United had obviously an outstanding result at the start of last season, right, at Tannadice. Then to go and lose 7-0, is that respective of... between the two clubs, 7-0.
But then this is the whole problem is that we have is that when we start our season, who are we coming? We're starting Europe so early because, and this is the cycle that we're constantly in, is that we start our season so
but
early.
Some of these leagues are as well though.
But
these teams that we're
playing. Some of them are playing right through, and this is some of the issues that you get as well, is that you're playing teams that are playing right through that are just that wee bit sharper, and sometimes it is just the quality. You underestimate some of these teams as well. You underestimate them. You've had it. I've had it. So at the end of the day, we've had it. We've underestimated some of these teams. You're expecting to go and beat them, and it just doesn't happen because you've underestimated them. And I think this is what some of the issues can be. I don't think Hibs maybe not underestimated them, but the Andorran team have been sharper. Simple as that.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating to talk about things like this. It'll be interesting to see what happens with yous, and it'll be interesting to see if Aberdeen can do what
You'll
they
get
can do.
But
you see that. Well, here we go. Welcome to the Defeatist Podcast with Mr. Defeatist Kelly and Defeatist Hearts.
In all seriousness, we've obviously so we can get Rosenborg or Crusaders.
Crusaders is a piece of piss.
It's got to be
Rosenborg. Fucking let me beat them twice in League One.
This is what Andy just said about three sentences ago. This is the problem we've got. We're saying. Should be alright, piece of piss, but then it's not.
Rosenborg
are ninth in the league.
They just said Crusaders would be.
But the thing is, Rosenborg are ninth in the league, and you're expecting, it was 1-0 the last time I seen it. If somebody wants to get me the score quickly.
For what game, sorry?
Crusaders Rosenborg, sorry. we're really professional here at Park the Bus, but obviously we've got the winner of that, and obviously you'd expect us, we should go, if it's Crusaders, we should be expected to go and beat them, but we've been horrendous in pre-season.
2-2.
So it's 2-2. So there we are.
2-2.
So it's 2-2.
So in the finish full time.
So full time, so next week it's all to play for when they go over to Norway.
A cracking result for Crusaders. We should beat Crusaders.
Aye, but the thing is, I'd expect that we probably should with the players that we have. We've got Scottish internationals in our squad. You know what I mean? So we should be able to beat them. We've had a shite pre-season, so let's not get started on that. We'll talk about that next week.
The amount of time you say this, I could be rich.
Aye, fucking, you couldn't be living on Armour's couch either.
No, but I wouldn't be in a blow up fucking bed.
But it's one of these things, is that we should beat them. We'll see how it goes. Aberdeen have probably got a bit easier, and Rangers probably can fall into the same boat if they underestimate it. Rangers are going through a transition at the moment.
So Rangers done this a few years ago, remember, they couldn't buy a win all the way through pre-season.
Aye.
I mean, they got to the first competitive game and they were absolutely tremendous.
Aye.
But this is the thing, they're in through a transition, so you don't
folk
know what
forget is, what certain, it is, certain fans of certain clubs didn't bother about pre-season because they came what to expect.
Yeah.
Whereas others look into it far too much. If we talked about Aaron there, Aaron was the perfect example. All of us last year in the predictions thought they were going to go up. Okay, yep. they did go up eventually. Holy shit, man. For the first like 5-6 games, we're thinking, oh, they're rotten.
Listen, there was a pre-season game where Dundee beat Man City at Dens Park.
Yeah.
Pre-season isn't a reflection.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, some of the pre-season games you can play and go to play. I mean, you've got the likes of, was it Mansfield you just played?
We played Mansfield closed doors the other day.
You know, and beat 3-1. But you don't look much into that. I mean, what, when Craig Gordon was first kicking about and all these senior players, you played fucking Barcelona at a sold-out Murrayfield. You know, what pre-season is that? No, it's a glamour friendly. That's what I'm meaning though. Like, you can't, if you want to build a pre-season, look at Livy. Livy never went away this year abroad. They played teams in the boot. They can't. It's either that or you lose two players.
Aye, we've not sold Nubly yet, so.
Nah, but hey ho.
But yeah.
As for the rest of the results, we'll see what happens. We've talked about Rosenborg and Crusaders, and we'll also talk about Hibs' second leg next week as well.
I've got a room booked for Northern Ireland.
Have you?
Aye.
Just in case?
Just in case.
In this case, booking.com special, is it?
Aye. Glasby Bar booked that, so
yeah, probably will be.
So I text him, I was like,
a last minute booking.
He asked him about it, he's like, I've got hotel rooms, you want a room bed? I was like, yep.
Did
you look at hotel rooms in Norway as well?
Oh, fuck, mate. I've seen the price to get them. So there's Hearts fans that have booked, some have booked for Belfast, some of them have booked for Tottenham.
£20 a pint.
And what they're doing is they're basically booking themselves to fucking Norway.
All right.
And then offsetting that with a bet again for Crusaders to win the tie to cover the flight just in case.
Right, okay. Fair play.
Well, we'll see what happens next week anyway. Hibs have also still got their second leg, and I'm expecting also a very busy Easter Road for that night, and I think the team will need the backing from their faithful.
Yeah. Kieran's going, I think, so.
I'll be back shift, so I'll be watching the telly, hopefully, if it's going to be a BBC special again, is it?
It was on BBC earlier, was it?
Yeah.
I was at cinema.
Well, yeah, as I was going to mention, there's advertisement for that one.
Aye.
That's great. Let's promote Scottish football. It's the first European tie of the fucking season.
Yeah.
Well done.
Because they're allowed qualifiers right up to the very fucking, and then that's it.
You know, well done. But anyway, yeah, that's what happened today. Hibs fans will just be looking to get back on track. So now it's time to just move on to a different wee topic, and last weekend was the start of the Parks Motor Group Scottish Lowland League, and if everyone knows, the Scottish Lowland League will be a very good league to watch this year due to my Linlithgow Rose playing in the competition, and Hearts B, obviously Andy keeps a close tab on them. But yeah, last weekend Linlithgow Rose, just for myself, went along to the game, played Stirling University. Or University of Stirling to be precise, and they were not a bad team. Rose won 3-1 at the end of it, quite convincingly in the second half, could have been more, but some cracking goals, good crowd at the game, but midweek they were playing against Broomhill. They also got beat in their first game against East Kilbride 2-1, and to be honest with you, I think some people are saying that a draw was quite good for
Broomhill.
Yeah.
But to get beat, there was a lot of controversy at the end of that match. If anyone wants to watch a video of the game, pretty much, and Blair done a cracking job.
It's a cracking job,
aye. Like, it's probably one of his best, to be honest.
Yep.
But hey ho, and Hearts B, fucking flying, mate.
Came with the traps, mate. Came twice.
Yeah.
Both
you want
games.
To talk about them now? And
both
then I'll
games.
Get the fixtures and results.
Both games have came with the traps flying. Scored really early goals. It was only 2-0 at half time against Gretna, and just that wee bit extra. They're so quick on the counter attack. Everything's counter. It's everything counter both doing both sides, and then away they go. They got a wee lesson on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Obviously they were 3-0 up at half time, and they were like they started the game. And if I says to Norrie Work on his video, is that Hearts were winning, but there wasn't much in the game. It was 1-0 at one point, and
yeah.
They were like Civil were still really doing really well. Ballatoni was winning everything in the middle.
Yeah.
And they were coming forward, then Hearts just broke and scored again. Second half, Civil have came out, they ken the pitch, they ken it quite well. They know where to put the ball, they ken it's going to hold up, and then a couple of crosses and Hearts got caught out really.
It's the whole point, though, isn't it?
Of course it is.
If you use your home advantage,
absolutely.
It's the whole point.
No, absolutely, and they picked up the two crosses, Hearts were flapping, and they held on. Like, the Civil had a goal chopped off for offside, and they were probably the better team, and then Flatman got sent off for two silly yellow cards. And that's when Hearts probably started to play the ball through the middle, keep the ball on the deck, and they seen the game out. So they've started really well. As I've always said, it's all about getting performances, getting these players minutes. There's three or four of them that probably should be playing on Sunday against Leeds, in that friendly at least. Three were missing because they were already playing against Mansfield. McLucky, Sanderlands, Kirk, Flatman, there's four probably that could be in that squad as well. So
right, it's not a Hearts podcast.
No, it's not. But these are four that, if you're talking, this is what the whole point is. There, there's four.
No,
that
what
should
we
be.
Talked about, what you said was we talked about Hearts are doing it the way that it should be done.
I think Celtic are doing it this season as well. By
they
the way,
they are, because they spent a lot of money last year. Rangers aren't in it.
Yep.
If nobody knows, so if anyone wants to watch the preview, which is a bit outdated now, but it was a good talk.
Yeah.
Hit the nail on the head when we talked about how the B teams need to be in this league if they're going to be, and that's how they should be.
Yeah,
they should
absolutely.
Be in there to filter players properly. If they're good enough, they should go on loan to bigger teams.
Well, that will cut.
And that's it.
That will cut. Right? These laddies will probably, you'll get some will be loaned out to Championship.
Well, you've seen last year Pollock and all that, you know what I mean?
Well, it was in and out, wasn't it? Well, they've been promoted now, so they've now been promoted to the big team, so they're going to get this opportunity. So these laddies will take their loan league.
Yep.
17, 18 year old, they're playing every week, they're scoring goals. They take the step up, and they go then in a level. So there isn't much. If you're loaning players to League Two, there's not much difference between that and League and the loan league.
No, not anymore.
So
not anymore.
You're as well having them playing week in week out, because when they go to loan sometimes they didn't get these minutes. But as I say, it's good on them. They've won their first two games. It'll be difficult on Saturday doing Gala.
It will be difficult. The biggest question for everybody on is who's going to win it. Obviously, certain clubs obviously spent a lot of money. We talked about that as well.
Cammy had arguments with their fans online.
I did a wee bit. I seen your Pie and Bravo tweets as well. My pal was fucking pissed off 20 minutes for a goal kicking up. Aye, fuck you. Anyway, where's the Scott?
What are you looking for?
Well, wait a minute. I need to back me up on this, right? So there's the end of the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the first weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on it already.
It's no.
Aye, it is.
Aye, it is.
Heart with Lothian Beast.
Is it?
21st to
21st.
Aye.
Have you updated it? I have just in the mail. It doesn't look right. That's alright. Okay.
It's quite
it's just me. I've not got my glasses on. I'm new to this. Right. So, Hearts B versus Gretna was the first game on the Friday night, 21st, under the lights at Ainslie Park, as you said. Hearts B used to play at White Hill.
It was free as well.
So obviously they've moved to Ainslie Park to play their games this year, which is a great move, because every game's pretty much Friday night, isn't it?
If they're home games, they'll be on Friday nights.
There you go. Bournemouth United versus Galaferradine, 3-0 winners against Gala. Quite a surprising result, to be honest, considering we slagged Bournemouth off the fuck in the preview bit, didn't we?
Yes.
Not because you're my pal and that, because you're slagging Bonus off, but I think it was justified, because you looked at what they signed and you looked at the team they have anyway.
Boy Porteous, by the way,
he looks alright.
The were fans moaning about them over the weekend, so they were second in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And all the teams had their official names and they were just Bonus.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Well, you've got Cali Braves versus Berwick. I mean, Cali Braves 1-0 against Berwick. We talked about Berwick again. They've actually got quite a strong team, though. But to get beat off Cali Braves, considering all the players that they've lost, it's pretty decent for them. Cumbernauld Colts versus Celtic. I mean, there's another example.
It's a good result for
Cumbernauld. You know, who expect that happen after last year?
Yep.
Again, we'll need to see how Celtic get on.
And Cali and Cumbernauld are both just solid low-end league sides.
They somehow got a result.
Middle of the road, low-end league at times.
Big game at the weekend was obviously East Kilbride versus Broomhill. Yep. Obviously, Simon Ferry is now with Mick Kennedy at East Kilbride. And obviously, it technically was a reunion to his old club, it's not open goal anymore. Yep. They 2-1 winners against Broomhill at Kay Park, and it took a last-minute absolute thunderbolt to get East Kilbride the 3 points in the day. As I say, there's a bit of controversy at the end of the match. There's a few things that's happened. People say that the East Kilbride should have won it by about 6-7-0. You can pass the ball you like. It's about putting the ball in the back of the net, isn't it? East Sutherland versus Tranent. Again, Tranent winning the first game, showing that they've got the money, got the players. East Sutherland, though, I think they said that they kind of shot themselves in the foot. I don't see if you've seen the highlights.
Nah.
There's one, he's right in front of the goal. Mm-hmm. He only has to tap it in left. He goes right, and the keeper doesn't have to dive.
Oh,
So it's a shot in the foot, that one. After we go through the results, I'm going to touch on about stadiums in a minute. Edinburgh University versus Civil Service. What a game that is. 3-4 to Civil Service. And Linlithgow Rose versus University of Stirling 3-1. And that was the last game of the weekend.
Not sure how much Cameron remembers of that.
Aye, well, I can remember the game. Maybe not after it. great games. Good fixtures. Is there any surprise results in there? I'd probably say...
If surprise results, Cumbernauld.
I think Cumbernauld and I think Cali Braves.
Yeah.
I think they're the two. And I think maybe Bowen S winning 3-0 and Gallano scoring any goals was quite surprising as well. Considering the players they've got in their team and that. Jimmy Scott kind of sets their team up quite solid normally. So, yeah. Would you even say Hearts be running at 7-0 against them?
I wouldn't be surprised at that at all. I wouldn't even say the size of the score surprises. 3 weeks ago, Gretna had 5 registered players and coaches in their squad.
Yeah, I know they did, but I still...
So, you can't... as I said, they also didn't... that also not being a manager. It was a physiotherapist and four players.
I think they've obviously brought players in and stuff like that, but... I wouldn't have thought it was going to be that big a score, but having watched them, I can see why it was 7-0, and I can see why it was 7-0 against East Kilbride.
Which is the first result from the midweek games. So obviously there was another fixture list to happen on Tuesday and Wednesday. So we'll go through the list. Obviously, I'll try and find East Kilbride here, which they're doing here. So they played on the Wednesday, so we'll go back to front. Gretna 2008, East Kilbride, 7-0 winners at Vale Park. When you go into Wednesday again, University of Stirling is Cumbernauld. Fucking hell, Cumbernauld, 3-0. Cumbernauld maybe turning into open goal a wee bit, playing still in Broadwood. And then they obviously are sitting high in the league, obviously, after two games. Better Rangers versus Bowness. It took 2 goals in 2 minutes, the way it seemed on Twitter. Last-minute penalty.
There were late goals for
Bowness. For Bowness to win that game, and that's what it's all about in this league. You've got to get the last-minute goals. Unfortunately, I went all the way to Dumbarton for this one. Broomhill versus Linlithgow Rose, 2-0 to Broomhill. Touching it quickly, I admitted to you in the car, didn't I? I says, you don't take your chances, you're not going to win in this league.
Yeah,
simple as that.
To be fair to him, he did answer the phone to me this time when I phoned him.
He says, fucking hell, you're not shouting at me either. No, the basis of that game was Broomhill were solid. They've got a bit of experience in that team. Mikey Miller, he's dropped down from Steny, he's been at Livy, he's been at Airdrie.
Ryan McGeever.
That's what I told you. I said that to you. I said, Ryan McGeever, honestly, like, play him up front if you want.
Aye.
Just absolutely fucking solid, eh? Mm-hmm. But you can see maybe why they ran East Kilbride so close.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see. But then again, I said to him on the phone about, it's not obviously about this, but I think if it wasn't Linlithgow Rose playing, there'd be about 10 people there.
Aye,
It's sad to see. Because obviously after last year, they were averaging about 300-400.
But that's
the open goal effect.
That's the issue.
And playing at Broadwood as well would have helped a lot too, because it's only down the road.
That was the open goal thing, wasn't
it? Yeah, of course it was.
We went.
We went as well, but I went in the heart.
Did you go?
No, I wasn't there.
I know you weren't in, I drove, but did you go to an open goal game with him?
No, not at home.
No, no, Robbie, no.
I was on Lady Scobride with you.
All right, okay.
I drove that day too.
You did, aye? You did, actually, aye.
You weren't there.
What day?
East Kilbride.
Oh, no, I thought you had. No, but you drove the fucking
aye,
thing,
I drove
both
of them, aye.
Aye.
I drove to East Kilbride.
Parked in an electric, aye.
I did, aye. I don't have an electric car.
That'd be funny as fuck, some guy coming in the corner, fucking bastard.
fucking diesel car.
I know. So, yeah, that yeah, watch Broomhill, I think. Yeah. I generally think so. Didn't think I was going to say that, but yeah. Celtic B versus Cala Braves, 5-1 Celtic B, Cala Braves, again, we touched on it there. Civil Service versus Hearts, you went to that game, 2-3, we talked about it earlier.
Yep.
Not a bad result for obviously Hearts. Well, then again, in a coaching side of thing, I think he'd probably be disappointed. He'd be raging.
Yeah, he'd be raging that he's lost a 3-goal, yeah. He's 3-0 up, but I think the Laddies have learnt a lesson. And Civil are a solid side. They're a good side, eh? So
they've always will be. The ground's their ground, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's got that nostalgic feel to it. It's not a dump, but it's just an old school fucking...
It's just a field, basically.
They're called Silver Service. It's like, that's the whole point. It's a very
old-fashioned... It's just a field in Silver Nows that's basically had the thing put round it.
Yeah.
A big, massive container put somewhere, aye. Well... Last but not least, for the last game of, or sorry, the last two, is Galaferradine got their first win, 2-0 against East Stirling, and Trinet beat Edinburgh University 6-2. And I'm actually quite surprised Edinburgh Uni, they scored two goals into them, and at the time, I'm sure it was only 4-2,
yeah.
If I stand corrected on that one. I'll click on the result now. Let me even tell you, I don't think. No, they don't tell you.
Got a
live results.
Live results?
No. No, so I'm sure at the time, what about now? No, does he say it on? I'm sure it wasn't as big as that. It wasn't like they scored two goals and consolation kind of goals. But yeah, it's interesting to see. But then again, the two big boys have now got really good goal difference on the board. The biggest question for me is when it comes to playing the bigger boys, which... I've always said it will be later on in the season.
I think this weekend, by the way, if you've got to move on to this weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say quickly before. Well, actually, can we do that and then we'll move on to what I was going to say? So, this weekend, you've got University of Stirling versus East Kilbride. Obviously, they play at Forth Bank. Trinet versus Bo'ness. And after Bo'ness's start to the season, this is massive.
This is massive.
Get to 2008 versus Lithgate. I'm expecting to go down there and have an absolute party because if East Kilbride can do it, I'm expecting us to be about 4-5-0
I hope so
after Tuesday night.
Fingers crossed that Gretna have found some players and it's
like, yeah, I bet you so. Aye, of course you do. Galaferradine versus Hearts B, a kind of game that I think Hearts B will just be looking to keep capitalising it.
Yep.
And I think Gala will be wanting to get some points on the board, especially after the results in the first game against Bo'ness. Civil Service versus East Stirling. Again, East Stirling will be looking to get a point on the board.
Yep.
I don't think they're that bad a team, to be honest. I think it's just finding that result and that they find their feet. Celtic B versus Cowdenbeath, and this is where Cowdenbeath come into the lead now.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting to see how they get on after the League Cup adventure, and it'll be interesting to see Cal Mellett's tactician or whatever he done with Trinet, and also his short spell at Pennycook, who's obviously now at Cowdenbeath. So he's jumped up a division.
It has indeed.
He was manager at Trinet for a short period of time in the Lowland, but he didn't get enough time to be judged on. Broomhill versus Cala Braves, as I said, let's see how Cala Braves got on against a very strong Broomhill team. But again, is Broomhill just starting really well at the start of the season? We don't know. It's hard to tell. Bet Rangers versus Cumbernauld, I think that's a massive one after Cumbernauld start the season, and I think Berwick will be definitely looking to get some points on the board.
Albion
Rovers was missing, and Edinburgh Uni.
Broomhill, is it not?
Edinburgh Uni.
Edinburgh Uni,
yes. It takes me a few times to say that, but you didn't believe me, eh? Edinburgh Uni's missing, so is Albion Rovers still.
That's it, I know Albion Rovers
so
are missing.
So that's what I'm saying, so we've got to the season already. Cowdenbeath's been missing, and so is Albert Rovers.
They're two games in hand against each other, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
which worked out quite well. But yeah, quick one. I was going to say the East of Scotland League is good for your old school junior grounds and all that kind of stuff. But I tell you what, Lowland League football. Look at Ainslie Park, Newton Park, Broadwood, Falkirk Stadium, you know, East Piffermill,
questionable,
Forster Park, Preston Field, Neverdale, Excelsior Stadium, the More Room, obviously the Rock, Sheffield Park, Forth Bank, Radio Park. Well, Grenner's ground is pretty nice as well, to be honest. And then you move on to K Park, and yeah, you move on to.
K Park's not bad.
K Park is in a facility is good.
Yeah.
It's like a more compact Ainslie civil Park. Service.
It's a more compact Ainslie Park, I think.
Ainslie Park.
So. Really? I think it's a more compact.
Aye, probably in terms of what's actually there, like, right?
It's one of these grounds for East Kilbride. They're gonna have to move.
If they
want to go up this year, they need to get a new ground because that ground can't play League One. No way.
Fucking hell, can't. And the thing is, where do they go?
League One. Who's coming down from League One? Like, they automatically up, eh?
Where do they go that's actually beneficial for them? It's close by.
East Kilbride's down the road from, obviously, Cumbernauld, really.
Broadwood.
Broadwood,
aye.
So it fades back to Broadwood.
I tell you what, though, because Broadwood's just going to be sitting there empty, pretty much.
Yeah. There's only one team playing that. Two. Celtic Rangers, one.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, I just wanted to touch on it because for me as a Rose fan, to go to these kind of grounds, especially for a committee, like John was telling me, he's saying it's massive. Forth Bank, East Stirling. Falkirk Stadium's also for East Stirling, but it's a massive ground to go to.
Yep.
Good facilities, good pitch.
Then you go to Newton Park.
And then you go to Shitehole. There's about 2,000 folk there, eh? Hopefully it'll be good crowds, eh? Hopefully it'll be crowds. And best of all, it's on my birthday at home. So keep your eye out on that one, because I'll be out and lucky that night.
I'll wait for your voice notes.
Yeah, no,
you'll be there.
We'll not do that. You'll be coming. Anything else you want to say in the Lonely?
Nah, I'm good. We've
obviously said about it. We've said about obviously what's coming up. I will be going down to Gretna, so hopefully I'll be coming back a happy man. So as always, it's the end of the podcast, and thanks for listening, but we have a wee quick announcement, and it's from our partnership and sponsorship with Starna, or as Andy likes to be trying to be Swedish and whatever else he says and tries to be smart. Starna is an independent fashion brand from Scotland, and they create high quality and stylish attire for on and off the terraces. Inspired by the terrace culture, lifestyle and music, all of their clothing is designed and using quality materials and workmanship to find the very best style and fit for you. All this means you get a premium quality fashion at affordable prices and while enjoying the simple and secure forever. So go to www.starnaapparel.co.uk and get 10% off with what code, Andy Dixon?
Park the Bus Pod, all capital letters. It'll be in the show notes as well, so you don't forget.
There you go. So Park the Bus Pod, all one word, 10% off. Get your glasses that are also advertised. Get also your hoodies, there's plenty of offers as well, so give them a follow on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook, and you can get all their offers and new clothes, or clobber as you like to say, that comes out as well. So yeah, I end the podcast again, so just keep following us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever these new things are they keep inventing now.
Threads.
That just sound
Threads, Mastodon,
completely
X.
Fucking ridiculous. But yeah, back catalogue, Buzzsprout, get everything there, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Castbox, the whole shebang. Get on it and enjoy this podcast like all the other ones.
Yes, indeed.
So, it's a bye from me.
It's a bye for us.
Straight from the podcast studio in Broxburn, eh? Not bad.